Chapter 38, The Gift. Hilo rallied every good thought, every memory of rapture and Rachel's glory, but each fell away like a shriveled leaf in autumn. King had him. He waited in the theater of Hilo's mind, a commentator sitting one row behind him, whispering in his ear while scenes from Hilo's life played out on the stage. Argument was useless. Who could contradict the flawless logic? The obvious truths. Who could resist the strangling despair?
Finding out that Teresa cheated on you with a dread made it a bit easier, didn't it?
King said, tone reasonable and sure.
It was balm to your soul to be able to rationalize that he had some supernatural power or seductive skills born of a long life. You could forgive her because you could paint her as a victim. What if I were to tell you that Simon wasn't the first man to replace you in Teresa's heart and bed? You suspected it, didn't you? Remember?
Hilo did remember. He had bricked it away. King bashed the wall down with a thought.
It's time for the truth, Trace. It will set you free, remember? Think. When had you ever beaten your brother at basketball? You knew he let you win that day, but you jumped off the train of logic you were following before it took you into the abyss. Why do you think Brandon would let you win when he never had before? Yes, it's coming clear to you now. He felt bad for some reason. Let's see if we can find out what that was. That family reunion, just after you were married. You went into town with your mom and left your new bride and your brother all alone at the house.
Don't, Trace begged. It was too much.
Cracking already, Trace? We've barely even started. Would you like to see her mind when you returned that day?
Teresa sat in the front room of Hilo's parents' home, biting her lip, face torn. An anxious guilt ran through her veins, but her cheeks flushed as thoughts of her encounter with Brandon bloomed in her mind. She had sought Hilo's brother out, seduced him, and now, having succeeded, she was trying to feel bad about it. She rose when she heard the car door slam in the driveway. Biting a fingernail, she peered out the front window. There was Trace, her husband, the man she had promised herself to, helping his mom pull grocery bags out of the trunk. She had married the wrong Evans. Comparisons between the two brothers flooded her mind. To her, Brandon was the warrior, the hero, the stud, while Trace had turned in a single afternoon into a pity date she would just as soon cancel. She knew it was wrong to think of Trace that way, but she couldn't deny its truth. She would seek Brandon out again. She could hardly help herself. Trace had treated her with respect. He had loved her. But Brandon was everything she thought Trace should have been and more. The vision ended, Hilo gasping like a knife had just twisted in his gut. It had to be a lie. Teresa had loved him, hadn't she? But the more he tried to defend her, to paint her back into the wonderful portrait in his head, the angrier he became. She had made a fool of him. How dare she treat him that way? How dare his brother, the man he considered a friend above all? The sour ache of shame stoked the fire of fury building within him.
How's that forgiveness coming along, Trace? King said. Still feeling magnanimous and merciful about your adulterous wife? So much for I do, and until death do us part. And yes, I can feel it. There's that delightful sense of inadequacy that followed you like a well-trained dog your whole life. Other people did that to you, you know. I hate to burden you further, but the test gets even worse. How about this horrible conversation you still wish you never had?
What should I do, Dad? Brandon said over a plate of scrambled eggs. She's after me, and, well, she's hard to turn down, even if I wanted to.
His father looked at him, lips turned up in a smirk. He shrugged and took a sip of his coffee.
Brandon, his dad said, any girl that boy ever dated liked you better, and that's not going to change because he marries one of them. He's never going to keep any girl worth having. Just try to be discreet. For your mother's sake, if nothing else.
Ash Angels didn't get nauseated, but the urge to throw up nearly sent Hilo into convulsions. King was right. He had no idea how deep the wrongs perpetrated against him went. They should have loved him. At the very least, they should have shown him some respect. His guilt over his petty rebellion against his father suddenly seemed silly. His father deserved whatever pain he had suffered over his son not joining the proper branch of the military. How could his father hate him so much?
Feeling better now, aren't you? King said. Good. You remember that day you came home from basic, only to have your father shut the door in your face because you weren't wearing the right uniform? Should I show you the drunken rage afterward, where he took his anger out on your mother for coddling you? Would you like to see that too? Would you like to see a few nights of your mother weeping because you refuse to write or to call for months while you are on active duty? Ah, there's the self-hatred I was looking for.
King drew near. While only in his mind, Trace swore he could feel the man's breath warm the back of his ear.
I haven't shown you a tithe of all the horrible things your family and your wife thought about you. I haven't shown you a tithe of the horrible consequences of your mistakes on the lives of those around you. What do you think, Trace? Are you ready to stand before God, as good as you may be, and say to him that you can forgive others their trespasses, that you can forgive yourself of yours? Of course you aren't. And if one who is an Ash Angel shrinks at that challenge, what chance will the rest of immature, idiotic humanity have when they have their turn to know and be known as you now know and are known? This is the impossible burden God has placed on his children.
Go away, Hilo pleaded, misery lashing his soul.
Set yourself free, he offered. You don't need to forgive these people. They wronged you. And you don't need to forgive yourself for wanting to hurt them back. The misery will stop when you quit dancing to someone else's music and listen to your own.
Music. What had Rachel said? You think all the crazy things we can do come from us? We dance in borrowed shoes to music we can't play. God shines, and if we keep the windows clean, that light just fills us up and we can do what we never could alone. Rachel's words shot through his tortured mind like a fiery meteor, his guilt and shame evaporating under its heat. Confusion melted like a shadow in its light. The weight of its impact shook his soul awake, destroying the chain that bound him to his misery. He finally understood what the angelic unascended sought to convey to him in Deep Seven's reliquarium that day. His weak heart could not bear the weight, but it didn't have to. Even angels needed help, and help was there. He just needed to open up and listen to the music that had been there all along.
I am sorry for what I've done, Hilo said. The constriction around his conscience loosening like a snake uncoiling from its prey. The anodyne of Rachel's truth sealed his words with divine fire. I don't want to hate or hurt anyone. The weight of my pain is heavy, but I can forgive because my strength is not my own.
The dark tentacles that had ensnared his heart and mind snapped away like cut high-tension wires. The memories King had dredged up spun back into the recesses of his mind, his vision returning to the dripping dark hold. King frowned as the wisps of dark power retreated into his hand. The seven dreads loitered behind him, mute witnesses to the awful scene.
Hilo found Dahlia's eyes, but she looked away, face pale.
Delusional fool, King spat.
Hilo wished his body worked. He wanted to smack the arrogance off King's face. His tormentor's gaze turned to Cassandra. She had curled into a ball, wet sweater clinging to her body as she shook. Thick strands of her blonde hair fell over her wan face and into the gritty water. King stepped to her side.
I do not think your companion will resist quite as well as you.
Leave her alone, you bastard.
The smoky tendrils twisted out of King's hands and bit into Cassandra's forehead and chest. She convulsed as if shocked, back arching and limbs flailing. Her eyes squirmed beneath their lids, her body coming to rest on its back. A corpse-like rigor settled over her, only her eyes still twitching in torment. King's eyes closed, his thin-lipped smile like a knife gash on his face.
Stop it, Hilo begged.
Gutra stepped forward and kicked him in the face. Two teeth broke, and he spit them out. Fighting his unresponsive body, he rolled over, finding Cassandra pale and lifeless. He was going to lose her. King had entered her playground of pain and found everything he needed to convert her into a dread. The beating of helicopter blades thudded somewhere above them. Hilo looked up, but couldn't see it in the brief bursts of light. Thunder rolled in the midst of the boom of big blessed guns fired from the deck.
Seems your angelic companions have found you after all, King said unconcernedly.
The talisman around his neck glowed against his rain-slick chest. As one, the shed and all the dreads returned to the center of the hold as the crane lowered the basket at an accelerated pace. Dahlia was right. Devon and now King had complete control. Like mindless slaves, they stared, slack faces upturned as they waited for the swinging basket to hit bottom. King returned his gaze to Cassandra. The dark probes in her head and heart throbbing, pumping darkness into her soul. She writhed again, curses tumbling out of her mouth in disconnected streams. Hilo scooted toward her, his heart a stone. Cassandra's self-loathing ran deep. King thickened the mire, her angry tirade turning from self-reproach to acidic anger. Hilo, banged and battered, reached out a hand and planted it on the gritty floor. He heaved forward. He had to reach Cassandra. His body didn't want to work, ribs pulling and snapping as he edged toward her. His leg weighed him down like a useless bag of sand. She was sinking into a mindless fury, eyes closed, head whipping back and forth in the water. The spray from her hair hit his face. There had to be a way to pull King's darkness out of her to remind her of the light. The memory of Rachel's light had pulled him free once. How could he give that to her? Rachel. The answer grabbed him by the ears and shook him. How could he forget? In the abyssal hold of the tempest, he whispered Rachel's angelic name.
Lumina.
A feeling like the rapture of dawn ignited within him. Like a bonfire on a winter night, the sweet flame purged him of the horrors of the hold. His leg knit, his back aligned, his crushed ribs snapped together. From terror to bliss in a moment of time. In his mind, he fixed his desire for the promised bestowal, and in a moment's time it was given. Dolorum had used imparting to teach him the sword. Hilo would use it to save Cassandra. His eyes cleared, and he blinked to clear the rain from his lashes. He was on his back again. Above him, the dreads and the shed had just started their ascent on the platform. He had to hurry. Hilo rolled over. Cassandra's face was twisted in a sneer, lips drawn up like a growling dog. King grinned as he presided over Cassandra's horror. She had stopped yelling, eyes now open. Was it too late? With a lunge, Hilo grasped her hand and the vertus flowed from him to her. In an instant, he gave her what she'd needed her entire life. He taught her how to forgive. The blackened tentacles snapped away. And Cassandra's sneer faded, replaced by an expression of rapturous wonderment. Her eyes softened and brightened, the very muscles that for years had pulled her face into a mask of dissatisfaction losing their tension. Happiness dawned on a countenance long used to the night. The bitterness and regret burned away by a rising joy. King's eyes widened. He turned his gaze back to Hilo.
"What have you done?" he yelled, backing away.
Hilo stood and pulled a smiling Cassandra to her feet. She was radiant. Light gathered around her. Cassandra's aura exploded outward with the white-hot fury of a soul set free, cascading over King with blinding power. Horror bloomed on his face, and sinking to his knees, he howled in agony. He bent forward, grabbing his head as if to clamp it back together. In the glare of divine light, the form of King wavered and vibrated. Devon and King traded places, each screaming, the different tenors of their voices as jarring as the flip-flopping of their images. Hilo jumped forward, ripping the leather thong from King's neck. The talisman's light extinguished. It was a bone, though what kind he couldn't tell. With a quick shove, he pocketed it and jogged to the items Devon had discarded next to the pool. Fishing around in the wet clothing, he found what he was looking for. The explosive gun. It was heavy. 5 massive bullets remained in the chambers of the revolver. It wasn't exactly what he needed to fight Shadim and whatever King was, but it would hurt. The light from Cassandra's glorious presence was extinguished. King lay in a heap on the floor, trembling. A clanging above him drew Hilo's upward gaze. The shed jumped from the basket, hit the deck floor on the far side of the pool, and stood up. With a leap, the evil creature cleared the pool, a black sword forming in its hand as it soared toward Cassandra. The unholy blade was thin at the bottom and thick at the top, with a single edge on the long side. Forged from the vexus of the shed itself, a dark smoke clung to the dull gray weapon, absorbing the light. He slashed downward at Cassandra as he landed, but she dropped and rolled sideways, the blade whistling wide. But the shed was too fast. Before she could recover, he ran her through the abdomen just to the left of her spine, pinning her to the deck like an insect. Without expression, he raised his foot over her head, water sloshing off his shoe and onto her face. Hilo fired. The bullet tore out of the barrel, the kickback jerking his arm up. He'd remember to boost his strength next time. The projectile slammed into the shed just below the shoulder blade. The shed lost its balance, rocking forward, and the sword slid out of Cassandra's belly. She rolled. A second later, the bullet exploded. The top half of the shed burst into a cloud not unlike the ones outside the ship. It expanded outward with the force of the blast, but then reversed as if drawn back by a magnet. The storm seemed to settle for a moment, but the shed was reforming. Cassandra darted into the darkness outside the glare of the utility lights. They had to make it to the stairs on the far side of the hold.
"Get to the stairs!"
Hilo yelled to Cassandra, wherever she was. He could buy her time. The shed, now whole, turned on him, a red wave of desecration painting the floor of the hold. Hilo's skin goosebumped, and he shivered. The shed strode forward, and Hilo backed away, raising the gun. His strength wouldn't work now. The gun had 4 bullets left. He shot another round, the gun nearly slipping from his rain-slicked fingers. The bullet ripped into the shed's chest, the force wobbling it for a moment, but only for a moment. Before Hilo could squeeze off another round, the shed shot forward with unnatural speed and wrapped its arms around him in an iron embrace, the bullet embedded within the shed exploding. Unimaginable pain lanced through Hilo's body. The blast blew them apart, and Hilo fell, his chest a gory mess of exposed ribs and wet organs glistening in the dim light. The shed's upper half again dissolved into a dark cloud, only to resolve again into the dead face of Devon Quinn. The gun was gone. Hilo's back was broken, his chest crushed and exposed. The shed reached down and grabbed him by the neck, lifting him like a weightless toy, every jolt sending nauseating pain through Hilo's gut until his feet cleared the desecration and a welcome numbness returned. With a purposeful stride, the shed took him toward the pool, lifting him high to toss him into the water and to end his doom. Hilo struggled. All he could manage was a weak flailing of his arms. Like a vice, the shed squeezed him. Even with divine strength, Hilo couldn't extricate himself from the powerful creature. The shed had just pulled its arm back to launch him into the water, when something slammed into the two of them with such force they were thrown to the ground like ragdolls. Hilo tumbled and rolled, skin shredding as he scraped along the abrasive floor. He came to rest face down near where he and Cassandra had lain all day. A familiar voice yelled at the shed, commanding it to leave. Dahlia. He turned his head up, his vision blurred by the filthy water. She was there, staring the shed down. Again, she told it to leave. An agonized yell from Dahlia, followed by an echoing crash, told him the shed had given her its answer. Hilo couldn't see her anymore. King had regained his knees and stopped trembling, but he swayed, still enervated by Cassandra's glorious presence. Tears of pain blurred Hilo's vision. He tried to think of a way out, but nothing came. The pool waited, and the shed would come for him. He hoped Cassandra had made it out, that she was getting help. But she wasn't. From his vantage point on the ground, he suddenly glimpsed her shoulders and head. She stood in the pool, grasping a scrap of rebar she had found among the discarded metal in the hold. She smiled at him fondly, her eyes full of purpose. In one powerful thrust of her arms, she drove the rebar down and through her heart. "Hold on, Hilo," she shouted, eyes bright. "They're coming. And thank you. It is beautiful." Hilo wanted to shout back, to tell her to stop. His voice failed him, whether from the racking pain in his body or the clenching grief of what she was about to do, he couldn't tell. She looked to the sky and fell back softly into the waiting water. In an instant, she disappeared, her ash mingling with Goldbow's. Somewhere inside the welded pool, a glowing, sanctified length of rebar waited for an angelic hand to wield it.